Do you love data nerds, awkward meet cutes, and cat lovers? Well, you are going to be purring with delight over the brand new rom-com from Helena Hunting, A Love Catastrophe. Hello, Swoon Squad. Welcome to While You Are Reading, a podcast for contemporary romance readers. I'm your host, USA Today bestselling romantic comedy author, Lisa Daly. On today's show, we are talking with the fabulous Helena Hunting, one of my all-time favorite authors, about her charming, funny, couldn't put it down new rom-com, A Love Catastrophe. Now, Helena is the author of some epic contemporary romances and rom-coms that you already know and love. She's the New York Times and USA Today bestselling author of Meet Cute, Kiss My Cupcake, and my favorite hockey rom-com series, The Pucked series. Helena lives outside Toronto with her amazing family and two awesome cats who think the best place to sleep is her keyboard. Helena writes everything from contemporary romance with all the feels to romantic comedies that will have you laughing until you cry. Welcome, Helena. I am super excited to have you on the show today. Welcome, 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 Helena Hunting. I am so excited to talk to you. I have to tell you, I read your book in one sitting in my pool floating around, and I got, this is funny, I got weird sunburns on like the back of my arms because, right, from holding it. So it was like one of those things where you're like, okay, I guess I missed that spot with the sunscreen. So yes, that's amazing. I stayed out there all day. I was like a little, like, prune with like these little two red spots on my wrist. So yeah.
Oh, well, I'm so glad it captured your interest that much and you were that absorbed, but I'm sorry that you had a weird sunburn as a result.
It was okay. Thankfully it went away, but it was like when my first day of vacation, I'm like holding my suitcase and I was like, what is that? Like, why does that hurt? And then I realized like, oh, I have this like 2-inch sunburn. It was like the weirdest thing ever. This book is so, so fun. Tell us a little bit about A Love Catastrophe. Can you sort of just go through the plot a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So A Love Catastrophe is a story about a cat sitter and a data analyst for the NHL. And he runs into an issue. He's, you know, obviously they travel in the regular season a lot. And he has a mom who ends up in the hospital and she has this cat named Prince Francis and he's a Sphinx cat and he's a going concern. And he needs someone to take care of this cat while he is traveling. And in comes Kitty, the kitty whisperer, who is a professional cat sitter, has a following that love her because, I mean, her name is Kitty, the Kitty Whisperer.
Right. Who doesn't love that? Right.
Yes. And they have a really horrible, embarrassing, awful meet cute in which he's a jerk and she is awkward. And then they are awkward together and he tackles her and and it's bad. And every part of their introduction just sort of slides into their interactions as the story kind of moves forward until they realize that maybe they got off on the wrong paw and how they feel about each other starts to shift as they learn more about who each other is.
I love that. So speaking of getting off on the wrong paw or the right paw, I really thought that your heroine, Kitty Hart, was such a fun character all the way to like the catty expressions, like what the meow, you know, like that.
I just thought meow it was, for now.
Right. Exactly. I just thought it was just so, so fun. What was your inspiration for Kitty?
Really like just pieces of people. And I feel like Kitty is that really quirky, awkward person that we all have like inside of us. Like every once in a while, that piece of ourselves kind of comes out. And she just embraces it and embodies it. And I really wanted to write this character who is better with cats than people. Mm-hmm. And which I think is not uncommon.
It's not.
I feel like sometimes I'm better with my cat than I am with people. And cats are like, they love you if they decide that they want to love you. And they, I don't know, she was just such a fun, quirky, different heroine. And I really wanted to, she just was, it was so easy to write her. She just kind of like came to life and popped right off the page because she was just her own person. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it can be really hard when you're trying to balance work and life and all those other pieces. And she was just her authentic self. And I felt like that was what I wanted to embody.
Yeah. I think you did a really great job with that. She is such a just charming, endearing character. And she feels familiar in a way that, not like you've seen her in a book before, but she feels familiar like you know her personally, or like you said, like she's part of you.
And, yeah.
Right. And I love that. It's really, that's such a, such a challenging thing to accomplish, is to have a character that feels so human and real, and or part human, part cat.
Yes.
So speaking of cat, Prince Francis, the Sphinx. I have only seen one Sphinx in real life.
And they look like gremlins.
They look like little rats that are, yeah.
They're so cute and weird.
They're so weird. They are. And don't you think it's sort of like, it's almost like those ugly dolls, like that were so terrifying. They were, right?
Yes.
They were adorable. And I feel like Sphinx are the same way. They're so ugly and weird looking that they're adorable.
But they're so, yeah, like they're just like so strangely endearing. And they, like Sphinx cats are really like a cat dog. Like they behave in the same kind of manner. They need baths just like dogs do. And they love and behave a lot like they're like a cat dog. They play fetch. They do all that kind of fun stuff.
I think that is so interesting, the way that this cat, Prince Francis, sort of became this barometer for how the, right? So for, as animals often are, right? So, I mean, sometimes, like if your dog or your cat is like, you know, making surprises in your shoes, you know, there's something going on with them emotionally, but a lot of times it's a reflection of what's going on with you emotionally.
Exactly. Yes. And Prince Francis was a barometer for the relationship that was forming, right? And yeah. He was the matchmaker.
He was. I love that, which is so funny because, you know, Miles hates him so much in the beginning of the book. Right. And then, And then of course, well, I'm not going to tell. He doesn't hate him as much at the end. We'll just say
the love kind of comes through. But I can understand. I know so many people who are allergic to cats, and cats know when you're allergic to them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you are going to be my new best friend. Right. I'm going to rub myself all over you. And I don't care if you're blowing up and you're sneezing all over the place and your eyes are red and runny. You're mine.
You're my person, right? Yes. I love cats, but I am allergic to cats. And
I'm
allergic to dogs too, but we have a dog that is hypoallergenic. He's a little happy.
Okay.
Right. And
they're so cute. They are just literally the most adorable little, and their little tiny legs. You just want to just love them so much.
They're so cute, and they're very smart. They make really great writer dogs because they are like, they love to be with you all day, every day, all the time. And they're really smart, and they have their own sort of little sense of humor. Our previous dog was also a Havanese. His name was Zeus, and he would literally, like, did this thing where he'd go out to the bathroom and I'd give him a treat when he came in. Well, he would like literally go out there and fake it. He'd hold up his leg. It took like months before I realized, like, why is he going? So I thought he had a bladder infection. No. He's just outsmarting me.
Yeah. You trained him to give him treats every time he went to the bathroom. So he trained himself to go to the bathroom a lot.
Wasn't going. He was just lifting his leg in a direction where I couldn't see the action. And that was it. So
that's exactly. Amazing. Oh, I love it.
So one of the, when we talked about Prince Francis being the sort of barometer for everything that's going on in Kitty and Miles' relationship, both of them have some, you know, some sort of deeper issues and character growth to kind of overcome.
So, yes.
But the book is very definitely a rom-com. And yes. Right, there are so many funny moments in it. So how do you balance keeping that, you know, the dealing with the deeper issues and the character growth, but also keeping that book light and fun?
I think it was, I knew exactly how I wanted this book to kind of come together, and that I wanted the, all of those lighthearted pieces, which, and it was so easy to make them happen with the, like, cause cats can be a huge catastrophe. And there's so many easy things that you can do to create like ridiculous moments that made people laugh while also having all this heavy stuff, you know, like Miles going through all this stuff with his mom and, right. and the strain on their relationship. And then Kitty kind of trying to navigate her own feelings about her family and, right. and her kind of feelings of responsibility to make sure that everybody was taken care of. Right.
Right.
But being able to insert, you know, these really ridiculous moments in which Prince Francis is yowling at doors in the middle of the night, or like clawing, you know, Miles's naked chest because he came into the kitchen at the wrong moment. It just like it allows it just it's organic, right? It's organic opportunities for some levity inside of all of these. Heartfelt kind of conversations and moments.
Well, and I think a lot of us would like to claw Miles's chest.
I love Miles so much. He's like, so when I was talking to my agent about like who I envisioned as Miles, I was like, oh, I'm going to say his name, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Levitt. Yes!
You know who I'm, Snowden.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's the only movie that I can think of. That.
No, I think that's his name, right? Yeah.
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt. Yeah.
Love it. Yes. And I'm like, this is who I envision. Like, I love him. He's like, he's nerdy hot, right? Like, He is nerdy hot. He's like this numbers guy who loves hockey, and he's surrounded by all these hockey players, but he's just this he's nerdy, and it's I don't know, he's sexy. I find
dirty nerdy. Yeah,
he is dirty nerdy, right? I love it. Yeah, he was so fun to write.
He
and was so grumpy to start with, right?
I know. I love a good grumpy Sencha. I mean, I personally live in a grumpy sunshine life, and I love that. I think that's like one of my very, very favorite romance tropes. And he's so grumpy at the beginning, but he's so sweet too, though. He has like, yeah, like underneath all that grumpy and data, there's like a real kindness to him, which I really.
Yeah. And we don't get to see it at first because for obvious reasons, right? Right, there's so much trauma and there's so many things he's trying to manage. But as those layers get peeled back and he gets over, you know, Kitty's exceptional quirkiness and they sort of learn about each other. They were so fun to write as a couple. I loved writing them.
I totally got that vibe when I was reading it. And I think, I think a lot of our readers will too, that you really do feel like the fun just comes through. It's just, I mean, there are so many little things that you didn't have to do, like the funny expressions and things like that, that you did do that just make, like, it's so just rich. It's delightful.
Thank you.
It's really a great book. You're so welcome. So I had a question. This is a weird one. So you talked a little bit earlier about like pulling pieces of characters from people you know and things like that. I do that sort of Frankensteining characters from people I know. And so I was curious as to whether or not Prince Francis had any personality traits shared by your cats, because I know you are a cat owner.
Oh yeah. Yes. Okay. So my cat and my best friend, Deborah Anastasia, she has a cat and his name is Blackberry. And whenever she takes a picture of Blackberry, I'm like, he's a tuxedo cat. He's like, he's so regal. He's just, But I'm like, every time she takes a picture and he's looking dead on, I'm like, there's a human inside of like he, I feel like there's a human looking back at me and it's not a cat. And he does this thing where when he's annoyed or you're not giving him enough attention, he like knocks everything off every surface until you give him what he wants. Like a bad toddler, right?
Right. Or like a kidnapper kind of, right? Like, yes. You know, right. Yes. Okay. Next it's going to, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's love, going next. Yeah. So that is one of the things that Prince Francis, that's what he does for like the first several chapters in the book. Every time he comes in the house, everything is on the floor because he's knocked it all off the shelf. Right.
He is not happy, wants you to know.
No, he's not happy. And I don't think I make him. I've had a situation in which, so there's a situation in which they discover the litter box and why Prince Francis is not happy about his litter situation. And I have witnessed something like this in which it got a bit out of control. Mm-hmm. And so they take a stand. That's what animals do when they don't like their situation. Like every time we go away on holidays, if we leave, we can't leave our cat anymore. Like he has to come with us, or we have to have somebody literally stay with him in the house. He can't handle it. He leaves us a gift in the middle of the dining room. Like right in the middle, like, here you go. You left me. And this is how angry I am at you.
Right. And I want to make sure you don't miss it. So I'm going to put it right here.
Oh, yeah. Where goodness, you gracious. Eat. This is where we're. Yes. This is where this is going to happen.
This is how I feel about that.
Exactly.
I love that. So Kitty Hart, Cat Whisperer, her best friend's cat, who owns a cat cafe. Miles is Miles Thorne, who's kind of a grump. So I have a question about how do you choose names? Because I realized, I don't think it was ever so. And here, let me just say this before anyone who has not read the book yet, you totally make it work. Like I'm explaining it this way, but what I found was that I was very charmed by the fact that you sort of choose names that kind of imbue some aspect of the character without being like too on the nose. And so I was wondering, like, and then I started thinking about like all your previous books and thinking like, that's a thing. That's a thing.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very thematic with names, especially if I have like a series. I have a series called, it's a hockey romance series.
I'm aware.
And all of the girls are flowers. Like all their first names are flowers or a nature reference. And then I have another series where all the heroes, it's last names for first names. Like they all have like last names and stuff. And yeah. And so I do this 100% intentionally. And I have another hockey series and they're all chess pieces. All the heroes are chess pieces.
I love it. Well, so this is funny. And what you did not hear in the introduction is that I mention and rave over the Pucked series.
Oh, thanks.
Because I loved it. Actually my last question is kind of related to that. So Miles is a number cruncher who works for an NHL hockey team. You also wrote the whole Pucked series, which was the very first hockey romance I ever read. And I have to say, it inspired me to write my first hockey romance, which I had never done before, even though I know, right? And I love hockey. I grew up in Denver. I mean, I live in Florida now. But I grew up in Denver. I remember like being in high school, going to like the Flames games for like $5 on like Friday night. You could go to the game for $5 with your student ID. And right, I know, which now is like $1,000. It's like a lot more expensive to go to the game.
Right?
And now I'm a Pittsburgh fan. But anyway, I love that series. And I will tell you, I started reading it. I always liked your books. And a friend of mine said, oh, you should like check out this series. And I hadn't really gotten into any kind of sports romances, but I couldn't sleep one night. And it was like midnight and I got in the bathtub And I started reading that book and I finished that thing in the bathtub. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm all pruny.
I was going to say, oh my gosh, were you not cold by the end?
I kept heating up the water again. Okay. I have a giant bathtub, so I kept heating up the water again. But now I'm realizing this is a theme and that I should just plan for the day. I am a fast reader, but I should just plan for the day.
Be in the water.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Pruny and in the water for sure. Yeah.
So seems to be the theme.
It does. But I love that Miles was not a player in this, but he was still sort of, you know, important to the team, this data cruncher. And so what I want to know is, what do you think is so sexy about hockey guys and why do they make such great leading men?
So there's so many reasons. Hockey is such a fast paced, intelligent sport. Like it's so smart. They just tend to be so much more down to earth. And I'll be honest, my husband, when we were dating, he played rec league, like not right. Mm-hmm. But he would play every week and I would go out and watch him play. And he's like this sweet, oh my gosh, he is like the embodiment of a cinnamon roll hero. Aww. Like absolutely a total cinnamon roll. But he would get on the ice. And it was like a totally different version. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hot. I need to write a book about this. And they're, yeah, like they have like incredible stamina. Mm-hmm. They're really like their team players. There's just everything to love about, you know, who they are and how you just have to be so driven mm-hmm. to get to that level of playing. And they play like a lot of games.
It's so many. It's
a lot. It's a
right.
lot.
It really is.
And it can be a really long season. I don't know. I've always been fascinated and I just love the game. And I went to see a couple of playoff games this year because the Leafs made the playoffs. So yeah, let's do it. And it was so fun to watch. Anyways,
I am all about that. All about it. Your book was the first hockey romance I ever read. I didn't even know that this was a subgenre at the time. Right? I had read your, you know, more sort of trad published standalones. And so yes. I was not expecting the steam level. I loved it. Yeah. I was not expecting it. Oh, it was great. Yeah. But yeah.
It's really like not toned down at all.
Well, I thought it was delightful. It was really fabulous. So, but yeah, it was the inspiration for me. I started thinking like, because I never, I wanted to write a series for a while and I hadn't really, like, I was kind of trying to figure out how I could do a series of interconnected standalones and just a bunch of things came together when I started thinking about it. And after I read it, I'm like, oh my God, it's got to be hockey romance. So
yeah, the found family piece is so.
Oh, I love that.
Right? Like that they are such a unit. Yeah. And they love hard and they fight hard and they play hard and they do other things hard.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. All right. Now I'm getting a little blushy here. So let's move on to our next segment. So every week, my favorite contemporary romance authors and I trade book recommendations. They tell me what they think I'd like. I tell them what I think they might like. And everybody's TBR pile gets a whole lot bigger. I have a recommendation for you.
Okay.
I'd love to hear your recommendations for me. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second. You go first.
Okay. So my recommendation for you is from a debut author. It's called You with a View and the author is Jessica Joyce. Cool. She's a debut novelist. I love this book. It had a very Letters to Juliet vibe. It's got a little road trip. You've got like the, yes, charming. It's really, it has like super fun premise. It's got like a great, the main character has this like wonderful relationship with her grandmother. And after her grandmother passes and she's had this, like the grandmother has this like long-term relationship with the grandfather and everybody's in love. But when they're clearing out all the stuff, the main character finds finds this picture of this man. And it turns out that they had had this really significant relationship. And she's trying to track the guy down in the picture to find out more about him. And the grandson answers. And you can see where this is going.
Oh, my gosh. Everything about this. It's like kismet, and they're meant for each other. And
I know. Yes. So I loved this book. I think Jessica Joyce has a huge career ahead of her.
That's exciting.
I know. And I love a debut.
I know. Same. So much. I love it's so great when there's a debut coming. And I read an arc not that long ago I don't even think the pre-order isn't even up. When I got the ARC, it was just a bound manuscript with mm-hmm. no cover. Like it was just I was like, I've never received an ARC like this before. So I don't even know if I can
say you loved it. That's okay.
Yeah. Maggie North, Rules for Second Chances. And I don't even know if there's a title. Oh my gosh. My heart. It has everything. It has neurodiversity. It has this beautiful second chance romance. And it is set in Canada, which I'm a huge fan of. And is West Coast Canada. So it's all mountains and everything's, it's beautiful. But just such a fabulous, steamy, emotional, heartfelt story, and done in the most, it was just beautifully executed. And I'm so excited for it to come out. I'm so excited.
Me too.
Yeah. Lots of laugh out loud moments where you're, and then all these heart, my heart was just so full at the end when I got my happily ever after. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. Rules for Second Chances. That is such a great title. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And it's just such a fabulous story. I'm so excited.
Love it. Oh, I can't wait. Okay, Swoonies, it is your lucky, lucky day. As we always do every week on While You Were Reading, we are giving away a copy of A Love Catastrophe. So if you want to win the copy, all you need to do is head on over to whileyouarereading.com to enter, or you can enter just by clicking the link in the show notes below. A Love Catastrophe is in stores now. It is absolutely phenomenal. I loved it to death. You're so welcome. And thank you so much for being on While You Were Reading.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Good news, Swoon Squad. If you love hockey romantic comedies, you will be happy to know that The Cutting Edge by yours truly, Lisa Daly, is in stores now. The Cutting Edge is a laugh-out-loud hockey rom-com, perfect for fans of Hannah Grace and Pippa Grant. Logan Rivers is a star pro hockey player for the St. Pete Slashers, and he is in a slump. He has not scored in 3 games. It's starting to freak him out. Enter Coco, who strikes a deal with an assistant coach to be Logan's lucky charm to pay off her training expenses as an Olympic figure skater. Everything's looking up for both of them. She's almost got her debt paid off, and the Slashers are finally on a winning streak. There's only one problem. She doesn't know how to tell Logan she's been lying to him the whole time. If she can just keep her secret till the playoffs are over. The Cutting Edge is in stores now and also on Kindle Unlimited. Will you be my book boyfriend? So would Miles make a good book boyfriend? Well, here on While You Are Reading, of course, we only review books that we absolutely loved. If it's on the show, it's a 5-star book. But we also give the book a boyfriend keeper rating, which is basically my totally arbitrary thought process on whether or not I would actually date this imaginary hero in real life if I were single. Which I am not. So for me, Miles makes an awesome book boyfriend because number one, he's a total sexy nerd and I am all about the data nerds. Number two, Miles is a really, really good son to his mother and he takes care of her as she is getting sick. Miles is basically a nerd flavored cinnamon roll and I am here for it. Okay, let's talk tropes. So for our listeners who are like, bring on the tropes, a love catastrophe is absolutely tropelicious. And it's got some of our very, very favorite tropes. You've got friends to lovers, family ties. You've got cat lovers and dog lovers falling in love, grumpy sunshine, characters stuck in old trauma who help each other to move forward, and many, many more. I think you're going to really love this one. So I just want to say a big thank you to Helena Hunting for being here with us today. A Love Catastrophe is in stores now. I'm your host, Lisa Daly. Thank you so much for listening, Swoonies. Now, as is our way here on While You Are Reading, we are going to be giving away a copy of A Love Catastrophe to a lucky winner this week. And Helena has sent us like this unbelievably cute swag to come with the book. So you're going to get the swag. You're going to get the book. It's totally awesome. So to enter to win the book and all the swag from Helena herself, you are just going to head on over to whileyouarereading.com, or you can click the link in the show notes. Thanks so much for subscribing, sharing, and rating While You Are Reading. I'm so incredibly grateful for your support of the show, you guys. You are amazing. And remember, if anyone asks you exactly how you fell madly in love with contemporary romance, you can always tell them it was While You Are Reading. All my love till next time.